There are about 200 Holocaust survivors living in the Northwest today, but the story of the Holocaust isn't always taught to students here in the Northwest.
There's a textbook we found, a history textbook used here in the Pacific Northwest, that had one sentence about the Holocaust, and it said, the Jews succumbed to the pressures of the time.
That's Dee Simon. She made it her mission to make sure students in Washington State know the real stories of the Holocaust. Now those stories will be preserved in the first ever permanent Holocaust Museum in Seattle. Simon's the executive director of the museum, and she told Kim Malcolm that for her, the story of the Holocaust is personal.
My mother was a Holocaust survivor, but she never spoke about it. So when I was growing up, I didn't hear about the Holocaust, and they didn't teach it in school.
Did you know that she had experienced that?
I knew because she had nightmares, and I heard her at night, but I didn't really know the specifics. Then when I went to college, I started to learn more and more about the Holocaust and forced her to really talk about it a little bit more and explain, you know, why she didn't talk about it.
How did you bring that up with her?
I just started asking her questions, you know, what happened to your childhood? Where were you? What did you experience? And she began slowly to talk about it. And I think it was good for her as well, as it has been for many survivors that I've met since my mom.
As you were learning about it and speaking with your mother, was there one particular story that really stuck with you the most?
Yes. One of the stories that's interesting is when I was 20, we went back to the camp where she had been, which was the Theresienstadt concentration camp. And as we were walking through the camp, I expected her to be very emotional. I expected her to break down and
cry. Was that her first time back?
It was her first time back. She didn't do any of those things. She actually just walked through smiling and talking and pointing to places. And she pointed to one place where she had her first kiss. And I couldn't believe it. I was just, you know, amidst this horror, here was a young girl, 14, who had her first kiss. And it made me realize that she, like every child in genocide or in trauma, somehow they eke out a childhood, and somehow she experienced her adolescence in this horrible place in her own way.
So now we're here decades later, and this has become a project very dear to you. Tell us about the Holocaust Museum and why you think Seattle needs one.
The question about why Seattle needs a Holocaust Museum is really sort of a universal question. There is intolerance, there is indifference, there is prejudice, there is bullying in the schools. None of this is new. And this Holocaust Center will be the first in the Pacific Northwest to really address issues of tolerance. Our center uses the lens of the Holocaust to teach students about how they can make a difference in the world. And it's a universal lesson. In addition, many, many Holocaust survivors came to Seattle after the war. Our center began with a group of survivors who had heard about denial and decided that they needed to do something about it. And so they began speaking in the schools. And now we speak to about 40,000 students a year in the Northwest. We reach them with our books and our trunks and all of our resources as far north as Anchorage, Montana, Boise. In the Pacific Northwest, Holocaust education is not mandated, and so students really don't have the resources they need, and teachers look for the resources where there's no funding, and we provide that for them.
Dee, there are museums like this all around the country. How is this one in the Northwest going to be different from the others?
What we have done here in the Northwest is we have taken the Holocaust, and instead of using a timeline, which is the perspective that most Holocaust centers use, we use the perspective of stages leading to genocide. And those stages apply not only to the Holocaust, but also to other human rights violations and other genocides that existed then and now. The first stage of our exhibit talks about changing world, where people are identified as being different, they're excluded from society, and laws are perpetrated against them to take away their rights. The next stage of the exhibit is about flight and rescue, when people understand that their life is in danger and they try to escape. They're refugees, they try to find shelter, rescue, hiding, try to get their children to a safe place. The next stage talks about the camps and the ghettos, really the violence that occurred. Then the next stage is about liberation and after the war, which if you look at these stages, they really apply to universal lessons in human rights violations where a person is identified, they're excluded from society or from a group, some sort of violence is perpetrated against them, and in the end, the perpetrator or the victim needs to rebuild. And that is sort of the focus. What brings it back to the Pacific Northwest is that at the end of the exhibit, in the phase two of our exhibit installation, we have invited other organizations from our community, the Tulalip tribes, the African American Heritage Museum, the Cambodian Refugee Committee, Densho, which is an organization that focuses on Japanese internment. And we have brought them in and others to have the final display that really says it wasn't just there and it wasn't just then. It was also here, right here in the Pacific Northwest. So students really get the universal message, and that's key, and that's what makes us unique. We are also highlighting the personal stories of Holocaust survivors who lived in our location. So Holocaust survivors and liberators who shared their stories and their artifacts with us. So the museum has many, many artifacts from local survivors.
What do you hope people will take away from this museum when they leave?
At the end of the museum, people will have an opportunity to write down how change begins with them, how they can take these lessons and move into the world, walk into the world a little differently. And so we have an opportunity to write it down. And students who've been to our center already have written the most beautiful things. For example, I will speak out for someone who cannot speak for themselves. I will donate to charity. I will think about other people who I may not have thought about before. I will see people more like myself. And these are the kinds of comments that students have given after the exhibit. And to me, that is what we want. We want people to feel hopeful, to feel empowered, to know that they can make a difference.
Dee Simon is the executive director of the First Holocaust Museum in the Northwest. The museum opens to the public this Sunday.